This morning, we're here in the conclusion of a series. Actually, many of you have been here from the very beginning with us, charting the course with us as we've explored several areas of our lives and kind of unpacked that. And many of you have found freedom in that, in God's word as it has spoken into you. And I'm super excited just to kind of see how God continues to move you closer to Himself in this journey. Now, when we started this, I told you that we would be making small adjustments that would have big impact. Little adjustments in certain areas of your life that could have great impacts in the majority of your life. And so the first two messages had a lot to do with your thought patterns, how you thought, you know, and holding captive your thoughts is making adjustments in your thinking. Because what you think matters, and I address the whole idea of you have a thought, and this thought, you got to avoid either suppressing the thought or ruminating over these thoughts, or even calling this thought bad when oftentimes your thoughts are neither good or bad. They just are. It's what you do with them. And many of you found freedom in that, and knowing that you can actually hold your thoughts captive. We even use the acronym STOP, right? Stop, take a step back, ask yourself or say the phrase, I'm having the thought that, or I'm having the feeling of, and then observe without judgment your thoughts, hold it captive, and then proceed with appropriate action. Sometimes that action is opposite of how you feel or what you think, and that's called faith, because sometimes faith is different than what you feel, right? And it's not called pretending, it's called living out your faith. And then one of the key things was, if you can name it, you can what? You can tame it. If you can name your feeling, if you can name your thought, you can actually tame it, because you're putting the spotlight of truth on it. And then the third week was all about adjusting your words. Adjusting your words. What you say. Instead of being a life-taking, fault-finding person, actually being a life-giving hope dealer, not dope dealer, but hope dealer. And so in the process, I showed you just the power of our words. And I say, you know, your words can be like fruit that's nice and beautiful, and you eat the fruit of your words. If you're giving life-giving words to the relationships you're with, then you can expect good things in your life. Not that bad things won't happen, but you will eat the fruit of what you give verbally to other people, also how you talk to yourself. And then we talked about the reality that for many, it's not life-giving words that you're using, but rather it's life-taking. You know, this is what we're giving. It's rotten fruit. It's toxic communication. It's words that we say to people or to ourselves, and yet all the while, we expect if we give life-taking words or fault-finding words, we seem to think that the fruit of that is going to be this. And we talked about the insanity of that, to think that we can give this to people and expect good fruit. And so I challenged you in that sermon last week, that just to speak kindly to other people, but also speak kindly to yourself. Because many of you, if we were to listen to your self-talk, how you talk to yourself, we'd be cringing this morning, right? If you gave expression to your thoughts by the words you say, and people heard you around you, you wouldn't want them to hear you, because you'd be quite a little bit embarrassed because of that. So I challenge you to do the same thing with those talks that you do have with yourselves. And so for that message, you can go online to see it. But the reality is that your thoughts, your speaking, they lead somewhere. They inform, they impact your choices, the path that you're going to, which is the center point of today's message, is your choices, your path. Because what we think becomes what we say, and what we say becomes what we do, and what we do puts us into a path, a destination. And some of you are experiencing a destination that you don't like. in your marriage, in your relationships, in your finances. And you're like, I don't know how I got here, but I'm here. And it's and a lot of it has to do with your thoughts and your words. And this is, I'll admit to you, this is an old sermon with a new skirt on. But I really feel like you needed to hear this. I really feel like you needed to hear this. There's one of the, today's message, one of those messages, one of those key ideas that I'm going to be sharing with you that has been so instructive in my life, that has helped me so many times. And so we're going to do that this morning, just our choices, our path, our destination. This last week, I took a group of men to Austin to learn more about what it means to lead in the context of church, and we were in the presence of many other men across the association of churches. And one of the things that I said before I left was this. I said, so who's going to drive? Because if I drive, we're going to get us lost. And then quickly I had one of the guys say, oh, I'll drive, you know. And he said, he's got a good sense of direction. I was like, well, you take the keys, man. He said, if I go, we won't get there on time. And it's funny, like, how God does it. God will generally put you with a spouse that has a good sense of direction. And I'm grateful for that because, boy, like, I'm really bad at it. I've been on a track to go to the valley. This is how bad I am. I've made that journey to South Texas to visit my family, and the process of singing Christmas carols and just getting distracted. And, you know, the road to the valley, there's a lot of stuff that it's like you don't see much, you know. It's not like, ooh, trees, oh, grass. And there's nothing like that. It's just like, ooh, nothing, you know. So it's just like a desert land, you know. So you're going to, we're going to South Texas. We're singing Christmas carols. This is like over a decade ago. And next thing you know it, I start seeing water. Now, if you know the journey to the valley, there is no water. I'm like, why is there water? Well, I'm in Corpus. That's why. Somewhere along the line, I took a wrong turn. I got a little bit distracted. You know, it's like, whoa, how did this happen? And there's these couple of things I've discovered about being lost, me being an expert of being lost. This is what I've discovered, that people who get lost almost never get lost on purpose. Almost never get lost on purpose. You don't set out on the road and think, man, I sure hope I get lost. When I ended up in Corpus, I wasn't like, man, I sure hope I get a nice little detour so I can enjoy some water. No, I wanted to be in the valley. I wanted to be in South Texas. I was visiting my family. We were visiting our family. See, people who get lost almost never get lost on purpose. Maybe they're not paying attention or get distracted, like that was my case, you know. And then I've also observed this as a chief most expert in getting lost. You are lost before you know you're lost. You're lost way before you see, way before I saw the water. There was a long stretch of road that I was lost, that I just didn't realize I was lost. Just didn't realize it. In fact, by the time you realize you're lost, you have been lost for a while. And that was the case. I was like, I had been lost for a long time. Didn't even realize it. Didn't even realize it. I've also seen this, and that is you always end up where the road you're on takes you. You always end up where the road you're on takes you. In other words, your path determines your destination. It's the road you're taking that takes you where you're going to end up. And here's the principle this morning, and one that I hope that you really adapt into your life, because to the degree you adapt into your life will be significantly better. And that's this principle, and that is direction, not intention, determines your destination. Your direction, not your intentions, determine your destination. In other words, where you're headed, not where you wish to be, determines where you end up. I could have been going that road towards Corpus and been thinking, man, I wish that I could be in the valley. That road, folks, was not going to take me to the valley. I could have been like, man, I'm just going to wish upon a star. I'm going to pray. I'm even going to go all Catholic on people and do some candles, you know. That's not going to lead me to the valley. It's the road that I take leads me where I'm going to end up. Are you feeling me? It's like, it doesn't matter how much wishful thinking I have to want to be in South Texas. That road led to Corpus. Period. It leads there. And guess what? This principle, the road you take takes you to the destination you land on, is true of the road as it is true of our life. It's not only true in the rules of the road, but it's true in the rules of life. Because everybody has a picture of where you want to be in life. You have a picture of where you want your marriage to be at. You have a picture of where you want your relationships to be at. You have a picture of what you want your career to be in. You have a picture of what your environment ought to look like. You have all these pictures. You have a picture of your school. You have a picture of how you want your kids to be when they're older. And you can pray all you want, and you can have all these intentions, and you can have all these good-feeling intentions, but ultimately, it's the choices you make today that determines the outcomes tomorrow. Is the road you're in today will determine your destination tomorrow. And some of you, some of us, are in the wrong path and don't even realize it. We're going to the wrong destination and we don't even know it. And some of you have arrived at a destination in your life, in your marriage, in your relationship, in your family dynamics, in your work, that you're like, how did I get here? And guess what, folks? You didn't get there. The there that you're uncomfortable with today, you didn't get there overnight. It didn't happen on a blink, like you made one choice and boom, you landed there. As a matter of fact, it was a series of choices that you made that kept you in a path and that now you're reaping the fruits of those choices. It's like this proverb. I want you to write this proverb somewhere. I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it, summarize it. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6 through 27. It's a great proverb from King David. And I'm sorry, not King David, King Solomon. Now, King Solomon, I love King Solomon. He's the wisest guy ever to live. He is super wise. He's super smart. He writes proverbs. He writes this, Song of Solomon, which is just a great, it's one of those books that the Jewish community, young Jewish men, couldn't read it. They would sneak into the temple to kind of read it, or the synagogue, because you had to be like 30 years old before you read that, because it was a little scandaloso, you know? And it was like, it had to do with relationships, and there's a lot of stuff there, sexual stuff in that book. Yeah, I said the word sexual here in church. There's a lot of that in that book, you know? So he was quite the romantic as well. He was a great leader as well. And so he had a lot of wisdom, and one day he's looking out the window in his palace, and he observes this young man, and he's going in this one path, and he's going towards this one home where there's a lady there, a woman there, whose husband is not home. And this woman has already gone to the temple. As a matter of fact, he says, I've already gone to the temple, I've provided my sacrifices. In other words, I've already emptied my bucket of my sin just for you. Wink, wink, shrug, shrug. In other words, I can add some more now. And says, and I did this all for you. And she's luring him, and he is like a horse is blinded, going straight to her. And King Solomon makes this observation. He says, he is going to her like a lamb going to the slaughter. You see, for King Solomon, he's observing this, and what he's observing is the principle of the path. He's observing his choices, and he knows where his choices will end up leading him to destruction. And we've all done that, right? We've all been in a situation where you're talking with a friend, or you're hearing a story of a friend or a family member that you in your head went like this. Of course! He ended up fill in the blank.